from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
11 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Q with you today. Vern's on deck show 1 hour from now. Thanks again to JJ Piccolo for joining us. And one thing he said makes even more sense now after a roster move that just occurred. So the Royals just announced that Lucas Urseg, who of course they traded for, reports to the club. So that to make room there, they optioned Alec Marsh down to AAA Omaha. We asked JJ Piccolo about Michael Lorenzen, and we said, hey, a couple days ago, you guys weren't totally 100% sure exactly where he would be. And what did he say when we asked? He said, oh, he's going to be starting for us. He's a start, you know.
We traded knowing he was going to make starts for us.
And now it makes sense. Alec Marsh gets sent down. Michael Lorenzen's going to be starting here this weekend or something like that.
I'll be honest. I kind of thought there was a possibility they would go 6-man rotation, I told you, Gold, in a way where you could protect innings for everybody, Lugo included. But JJ's answer is what was telling. He said he's going to make some starts for us, and it's about the innings for our young pitchers who have never pitched as much. He didn't say Lugo. He didn't say any pitcher. He said our young pitchers who haven't pitched this many innings. Yeah. Alec Marsh last season finished with 74 total innings. He already has 103 innings this season. So he's already 25% above. They used to have this rule in minor leagues. They don't have it the same anymore, where they wouldn't let you go 25% past what you'd done in the previous year, depending on how your arm felt and all that stuff. My guess, if I'm having to predict, and I'll ask JJ, separate from the on-air part, I guess now, my guess is that they are sending Alec Marsh down to ramp him down, prepare him for a role in the bullpen, and that is going to be their way of protecting his innings for the future. Next year, don't have to bring somebody in to make starts for him, but this is their way of protecting the inning count for Alec Marsh. They're going to start Lorenzen instead. Marsh has been pretty good this year, though. I will say this could backfire. Marsh has been a very solid starter for this team a good majority of the year. I know all of a sudden people are down on him. Mm-hmm. He'd been the number one starter based on statistics last season, but they're in a playoff hunt and all this stuff. He's been good this year. This could backfire. I don't hate the move. I'm just saying it comes with risk.
Absolutely. I think they're just giving themselves more options and setting themselves up if there is some concerns in other areas at the end of August with innings and everything like that. Also, let's say Michael Lorenzen comes in and he has a couple good outings, right? You know, it's not as if this is a move that is irreversible either.
No, it can't be reversed until an injury, unless an injury.
Right.
For 10, 15 days, whatever.
Right.
15
okay, for so pitchers, two, right? So two starts for Lorenzen. I mean, if he was just horrific, I don't think you've seen 18 starts for Lorenzen. You kind of know what you're getting. He's going to give you a decent outing, I feel like.
He's got an ERA about a full run lower than Marsh.
And veteran experience, right? And some bigger games.
I think everything, listening to JJ, looking at the people they targeted, Ursig and Hunter Harvey and this, the Royals want to win this year. I'm not pretending like that's not the case.
Every action they've had.
But every action has also suggested they think 2025 is equally or more important, right? Benching Marsh is not a now move because you could technically have Marsh in the pen right away or have Lorenzen in the pen right away. Bringing Marsh down there and ramping it down in a way where you can really control it is it's thinking about 2025 too. Like every move they've made is thinking about 2024, but it is also thinking about 2025. They value this year, but they value next year a lot. Again, and I don't blame them for that. There were 56 wins last year.
Again, two of the pieces they traded for have control beyond this season. And one of them has control well beyond next season as well. So that's the latest on the Royals front. Again, Vern's on deck show at noon today as the Royals are going for a sweep of the Chicago White Sox and trying to continue to distance themselves in the wild card race, keep pace, but also at the same time distance themselves maybe from some other teams that are knocking on the door for the final wild card spot. Chiefs practice still going on. I'm assuming it's going to wrap up here momentarily. And if so, we are expected to hear from Andy Reid, hopefully an injury update or whatever he's willing to share at least. Five players have left practice today due to injury. So a padded practice. It is very hot outside up in St. Joe. And five players leaving practice, most notably Kadarius Toney and then Nick Bolton, the biggest of all.
Yeah.
With what those on the scene, including Nate Taylor, are saying, it looks like an arm or elbow sort of injury. He was trying to tackle Mecole Hardman and got hurt on that play. So, and he has since left the medical tent, the latest report, and has gone up the hill. So five players, man, in one practice.
Hot day. Maybe it's just hot. Maybe they just, you know.
Doesn't sound like that on the Nick Bolton.
I know. I'm trying to be optimistic. Maybe Nick Bolton's like, it's hot. My elbow hurts.
I don't know.
Get my ass off the field. It's too hot.
Because initially it was positive news heading into practice today because guys like Chris Jones were back in pads. Jalen Watson appears to be off the pup list. You know, you were starting to get Hollywood Brown was back at practice today. Clyde Edwards-Helaire back at practice today. So there were positive news, guys that hadn't been available, and then unfortunately a couple injuries today. So we'll keep an eye on that. But we'll keep talking Chiefs football in a different way now because there still is one name from the past that keeps getting brought
up. It's time to let it go. It's time to let it go. I saw, just like you saw, that two or three more deep attempts once again went Xavier Worthy's way, or the job Rashee Rice did last year. The sentence I think we should retire as Chiefs fans is the next Tyreek Hill, or they're looking to replace Tyreek. That's not possible. And this is not meant to be a knock. Also, you should just let it go because they have been more successful without Tyreek as they were with him. You cannot replace a player like Tyreek Hill fundamentally in your offense. No other player in the league possesses the unique skill set he does individually. Having a guy who can run a deep route is not replacing Tyreek Hill. It is just adding a deep passing game into your thing. The combination of skills he's possessed does not exist. And this hung up on we got to replace Tyreek. We got to replace Tyreek. No, they don't. They just need to look different. They need to reinvent themselves. It has nothing to do with the style of offense they were when he was with them, because they'll never look like that ever again. He is a truly unique style player, and you should just be thinking about how we get the deep passing game back, not Tyreek. That's the name you should just erase from your memory.
I hear. I think it's natural, though, for people. I mean, whether you're doing radio hits like you and I have been doing in other markets, talking about camp, and they're always asking about, hey, the wide receivers and what the deep ball is looking like. And naturally, you can't help but say, well, they haven't maybe had a deep threat since Tyreek Hill. I think that's fair, sure, right? I mean, because that is accurate. They really haven't had a deep threat since Hill. To your point, nobody's going to be as dominant. Tyreek Hill is probably going to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, so
I would think so.
Right? So,
I'd be kind of surprised if he wasn't at this point.
Yeah. So you're talking about a really special talent. I think they're going to have the deep passing game back this year because I like the acquisition of Hollywood Brown. I like the pick of Xavier Worthy.
And they're certainly trying to push the ball deep.
And it's been an emphasis. Yeah, it's been an emphasis during training camp. And we'll see in the preseason games, whatever little action the number ones get in any of the preseason games, beginning on the 10th against Jacksonville. But I get what you're saying. There's a... you can't make all the same comparisons, but I get naturally because the deep passing game hasn't really been there since Tyreek left. I mean, even the year after where they still won the Super Bowl and Juju Smith-Schuster was almost a 1,000-yard receiver, he was a possession receiver. It wasn't like they were
Rashee Rice was the possession guy last year.
Yeah, it wasn't like they had somebody come in even in that year and give them the ability to track the ball deep down the field like they were hoping MVS or Tony or McCole Hardman could get open deep. Just really struggles to track the ball.
Weirdly enough, that's what's funny is like, that's only half of what Tyreek Hill did well. Yeah. Tyreek Hill is essentially Rashee Rice's possession ability coupled with elite level deep passing game ability. He doesn't just do one thing. That's why I'm just saying, stop trying to replace him. Like, and this works like, I mean, it'd be like if Bobby Wood Jr. wasn't on this team tomorrow, I'd be like, let's replace Bobby Jr. with one player? Not doable. You can't find, and like, I'm not saying like there's a difference level in skill in those things, but it's more about, to me, working the different levels of your defense. And you don't have to. Here's the thing. You don't have to replace Tyreek Hill. You already have some players who can possess the ball the way he did. Rashee Rice is doing a really nice job. Yards after catch, inside the 20-yard lines, on those slashing routes. He does those things well. The only part of Tyreek's game you're missing in this offense is the deep passing game. Not replacing Tyreek. You just need a deep ball. A damn deep ball. And having Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy is essentially making that player's name not need to be in conversation anymore. And I get it, because you're chasing that 50-touchdown, 5,000-yard season when everybody was catching stuff for 1,500 yards. I just think it'll never look like that again. Not that it can't be elite, that it'll never look that way when it is elite.
Are we talking enough about, though, the impact? So we mentioned it from a direct player to player. All right, if the deep pass, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, deep passing attack, the offense will be fun again and whatever, maybe smiling and enjoying the regular season and not frustrated. Sure, that's all true if that happens. Nice. But also, if we're going to discuss that, then that to me carries into the conversation also about what Travis Kelce does this year. Because in the postseason, Travis Kelce looked like the Hall of Fame tight end again. In the regular season, he was banged up early on, never got fully healthy. Then he sits out week 18, then he's rejuvenated. All that happened. His job was so much tougher a year ago because they didn't have the deep passing ball. Like, we keep talking about it as in the big plays and the positive, what that means for Worthy and those guys. But the positive for Kelce, if at any point early in the season would be great, the deep pass becomes a true threat again for your opponent. The job for Kelce becomes so much easier
than it has the last 2 years.
As he gets a year older,
Kelce and Pacheco's job, like, kick it up.
Yeah.
Make a cocktail.
Like, they're, you know, when you're getting older too, it doesn't hurt if things get a little easier for you. And if the deep ball is there, that's how Kelce can be back. If you think he's going to be back to a 1100 yard plus season, 1200, how that happens is, at this point in time in his career, how that happens is the deep passing attack exists again. Not for him getting the deep balls, but him underneath opens up again. He's not getting beat up at the line of scrimmage quite as much because teams have to approach things. That's the biggest change also that could allow this offense to get back to top three. Yeah, the deep pass, but also Kelce is once again a 1,200-yard guy.
Yeah, because they can't double-team him, because if you double-team him, then Xavier Worthy is going to be running down the middle of the field by himself. Hollywood Brown's going to be running down the middle of the field by himself or anything else. This is the best weapon group they've had since those Tyreek Hill era, because that was the thing. People are always like, is it better than that? It's deeper. It's definitely deeper than that. But the top two was tough to beat then. That was Travis Kelce in his prime and Tyreek Hill in his prime. And his prime has lasted a long time. Both of those guys' prime have lasted a long time, but it's going to be hard to match.
We'll be back here in St. Joe tomorrow for Chiefs training camp. When we're up there, we'll be broadcasting from the Comcast Business Tent, powering possibilities and all our training camp covers presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. I saw one change is happening for every team in the league this year, and I'm sure Andy doesn't like it, but every coach is going to have to do it. And that is, now the NFL is requiring every team to have in-game interviews. So one coach will have first half, second half. I don't know how they're going to do it, but in-game interviews like we see in all these other sports now. But the NFL is making this happen. I get why they want it, but I'll be honest, 99% of the time, these are a waste of time. Like, I should be excited.
There was,
like,
a reporter who got in trouble for essentially saying that a couple of years ago. Do you remember?
Who was that? A year ago.
It was like someone,
I can picture
Carissa
her.
Thompson or something.
Well, she got in trouble also because she said like she just doesn't, was it, she didn't prep or something?
I don't remember.
There was some other thing.
There's been a couple of them, but somebody said that like they called him useless essentially and they got in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, Carissa Thompson, I don't know if it was her, she got in hot water for some other comment that she made. Anyway, the point being is they are, they're a waste of time, right?
Andy Reid's not going to say anything.
Yeah. The idea of doing it, as someone in the media, I guess we should be excited that they're doing in-game interviews, but it's not.
What are you going to get at?
What I'm saying, like, we should be like, I should be excited, but I'm not because we normally don't get anything out of these. By the way, real quick, Carissa Thompson, she was on a Barstool podcast, and that was when she said she makes up stuff on the sideline reports.
But like, it's always the same thing. I'm like, hey, Andy, what do you think you need to do better right now? What's your team? You know, we're not just not covering well enough. Got to be tighter in those rotations. You know, like what? It's the same five things. It's the same 5 to 7 things. You know what your better interviews? Force them to have players interview. Those are good.
In the heat of the moment.
When a Major League Baseball player in an active game is standing in a dugout, or I don't care, every once in a while in spring training, when they're standing in left damn field with a mic on, that's the good stuff. That's when you actually get something. Because a player on the sideline is far more likely to say something that will get back to a team later, that will be entertaining or funny, because that's what they're doing. They're just trying to give you a good, entertaining product. They're not trying to like give you some nugget. They're trying to entertain you. The coaches don't entertain me with what they say on the sidelines. They say nothing. Like those ones like when they walk up coaches to the sidelines are almost nothing. Yeah, Harbaugh will say something weird enough. Yeah, it'll matter.
There'll be one or two coaches that end up being the quote unquote, you know, best interview of throughout the season or whatever. But yeah, you're going to get the bare minimum. They're going to do the bare minimum requirement, but that's a change for the NFL this year. They're requiring coaches. That's not one of those that you can opt out of. The NFL is saying, hey, all these TV partners are paying X amount of money. This is what they want.
He says, what are we getting at?
Not much.
You know?
No, not much.
Nothing. I just, like the occasional, like, I think we need to run the ball better. That turnover really hurt us. Like, yeah, we know.
The only time it would be good, like for example, in the Super Bowl, when Travis Kelce and Andy Reid had their little thing, the little shove, like, if you had an in-game interview coming up after that. those are the moments. Like, let's say go back in the day, I guess it happens with wide receivers anyway, but like, go back in the day when Odell Beckham was kicking things in the football net, you know, throwing tablets.
Tyreek Hill showing up with her. Marcus Peters showed up with no socks on.
Yeah, like stuff like that in game. That's what I want answers to. I don't need anything.
He's
going
to duck it though.
But that's entertaining. Those are the times where I actually think it could be, you know, useful. Like we know on the Chiefs Radio Network, when Kling's on the sideline, he gets an opportunity to talk. But this is going to be on the television broadcast, and each coach is going to be required in game to do that.
I just think part of this might just be the team that we cover, because you and I both know that Andy Reid's not going to say jack.
The mic'd up stuff is perfect for what it is. And I think leave the mic'd up stuff. We get to pull it later on. Like the mic'd up stuff is where it's at. There are going to be three coaches that are going to be entertaining. It'll be Dan Campbell up in the Lions because he's going to say something. I don't know what it is, but Dan Campbell's going to say something. Both Harbaugh brothers, but especially the Chargers Harbaugh is going to be pretty good because, I mean, he just says crazy stuff all the time.
Yeah, he just says weird. If it's Mike McDaniel, it might be entertaining because he says weird stuff sometimes.
And that would be the last one, yeah.
Yeah, there's like five coaches in which it might actually give me something, but I get those in the other things anyway. When they show the little in-house clips, when they show the little sideline stuff, when he's talking about his sneakers, whatever, those coaches tend to have the drops anyway or the little nuggets and bites anyway. I'm not sure letting them talk for 30 seconds in an in-game interview is going to change that. I did, by the way, get a little clarification. I asked J.J. Piccolo. Yep. He was on the show a little bit ago. And then we didn't know at the time that they were sending Alec Marsh down to AAA. He said that the current team's plan is to keep him in a position where he could do either. Where that if needed, he could start down the road if that comes back up into play. But if he needs to, but he'll prepare as if maybe there is a bullpen role there as well. So
the starting thing
right now, they're going to protect themselves because they're not sure.
Well, if there's an injury in the rotation, you want to have somebody that can come right up. If there's an innings limitation,
you don't want to put him down to one inning.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. There's a little clarification on the move. If you're just joining us, Alec Marsh optioned to AAA. If you missed our interview with J.J. Piccolo, a full interview going to be up at 610sports.com and on the Odyssey app. But let's get to the trash.
Trash of the day.
I picked this one because last week we were talking to Mike Pinnell. Was that Friday? I guess it would have been. Days
are
running
so
together here.
I don't know. Camp days throw me off.
Last Friday.
Back at camp tomorrow.
We are. And we had Pinnell on, and we were talking about food and everything, and he was mentioning ramen, but he was mentioning all this different stuff. You were trying to get me to eat sushi like you always have, and
yeah.
Mike Pinnell started naming off things. He's like, oh, you got to have some roasted eel and all this stuff. Even less likely than ever.
Wow, really?
Here's why. Headline, one dead, dozen sickened after eating roasted eel.
Okay. Just one.
One person. It was roasted grilled eel prepared by a restaurant chain that was sold at a department store near Tokyo.
Probably different than getting it, like, if I got sushi at Dillard's, right?
147 customers experienced vomiting and diarrhea after eating grilled eel.
Okay.
I'm out, man.
I'm out. If your elimination of food is that some people got sick right now, hope you're never planning on eating deli meat ever again.
I saw the 7
Have you been
pounds.
Following the news?
That's listeria, you know.
Chipotle got people sick for a decade straight with listeria.
Be careful there.
Well, allegedly there were some like outbreaks there a couple of times. Allegedly. Uh-huh. And you kept going back there.
I did.
It didn't stop you. This is just because it's a food you already don't like. People don't get sick eating food sometimes?
Of course it happens. This is a lot though, right? Like eel?
You think I'll never eat? What? I mean, I get it. Look, I don't think, I mean, I guess I don't know.
In Japan, the tradition of eating roasted eel is a tonic for the heat during the hottest days of summer. Oh. So you're saying we need to be eating eel
I'll get you eel at camp on Friday.
Dude, there's zero chance.
If I got someone to bring up roasted eel to camp, you wouldn't eat it on Friday. Come on, man. They said it's a tonic for the heat.
The one thing you have to acknowledge, though, you're correct that any food you can get sick from, but you have to acknowledge, and someone pointed out, birds, fish, more risky than red meat when cooked properly.
I guess,
like someone said, the chef did not remove the right gland of the eel.
That's unfortunate.
I don't know about you.
When I get my steak,
there's no like they forgot to accidentally remove something from my filet. Okay. They didn't forget to remove something.
No, but they could handle it. And they could have not stored it at the proper temperature.
Sure, that's literally every type of food.
Sure.
You know,
I'm just saying like, yeah, all I can't food have comes the, with the risk of being poisoned.
I understand. Like, yes, I cannot go buy a couple chicken breasts and then just leave it out and let it get up to 75 or 80 degrees and think I can just go eat that. Like, I can't just let it sit out. It needs to be refrigerated. Someone says it's like eating gas station sushi and think it's the same as a restaurant. Yeah, but here, this was not the
I would say department store sushi in Tokyo is probably a little different than, like, you and I did not go to TJ Maxx to get an eel roll, okay?
Well, also, it was sold at the department store. It's not like JCPenney decided to start making eel, okay? Like, this was a grilled eel was prepared by a restaurant chain, and then they sold it at said store. But you're right. There is a deli meat out. 7 million pounds of deli meat has been recalled.
Every year this
States.
Happens, there's like some. I had to toss some deli meat I think I had in the fridge.
So says, don't forget about mad cow disease. You're right.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that hasn't.
When's the last time we had mad cow disease?
I don't want to say for sure.
It was mainly in the 80s and 90s, wasn't it? Anyway.
Yeah, 80s and 90s. They figured it out. And they'll figure out the eel problem. One guy made one mistake. That's the same as leaving the food out. It wasn't that the eel was unsafe to eat. The eel was unsafe to eat because the man didn't do his job. It's different. I still think you should try sushi. It doesn't have to be eel. Eel's going to be a tough one to get
eels,
to eat first.
I'm out now. 100% out. I told you, I've had oysters before. I tried it one time, never again.
Oyster, that's a very... That I like oysters, but that is a very specific... That's a tough one to just like... Was it a raw oyster?
I had it in New Orleans. I was in a good mood. I was with good company. It was back in college. And
raw
I was
or
like,
fried?
Raw.
Okay. Yeah, that's a tough one.
Had one and I was done.
That's not the same as eating sushi. I understand why oysters are a tough sell for some people. I can see that that'd be a tough food to convince Q to eat. Yeah. I don't know if he's ever had an oyster, but
he's never had McDonald's. Well, you think he's had oysters?
Okay. I've had some McDonald's, just not a lot. I've only had like their breakfast burrito.
Okay.
You've never had a burger at McDonald's.
I've never had a burger at McDonald's.
You never had chicken McNuggets.
I've never had
fries.
No.
That's crazy. McDonald's fries. How could you just live life having never eaten those?
I mean, props to your arteries, you know? Good for you.
Yeah, you're going to live longer than Alex
but
and I.
Man, but man, oh man. Okay.
Huh. Not just because you're
Someone
younger.
Says, wait, you guys never had the shrimp at Macy's? No, I haven't. No. I actually have not. That is the trash of the day. All right, up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. I assume practice has to be wrapping up at about this time. So we hopefully, before we hand things off to Vern for his pregame show with Royals Baseball, hopefully we hear from Andy Reid. If not, we'll obviously just update you on the injury front if we get that. But Chiefs Red Half Hour, potentially Andy Reid coming up next.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour, and a reminder, at noon, we hand things off to Vern, his on-deck show, as the Royals going for a sweep of the White Sox. Vern will get you set for that noon today, right here on 610 Sports Radio. We know training camp is going on. Practice did wrap up, and we're going to hear from Andy Reid, because five players left practice, including Nick Bolton and Kadarius Toney. So let's go right out to St. Joe Q and hear from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid.
Justin and both Justins, Reed and Watson, had a couple guys get nicked in Gathings with a hamstring, Tony, ankle, Chu had an ankle, McCade, ankle, and Bolton got his elbow banged up. All in all though, good practice, a lot of good work, guys are moving around, good challenging. Both sides of the ball against each other. Got a lot of one versus one, two versus two work in today. So it was positive practice. Anyways, time's yours.
I couldn't hear you when we were talking about Nick Bolton's injury.
Yeah, he tweaked his elbow. Yeah. Just kind of caught him, in between two guys.
You guys look like you did the long drive out there today. And I know a lot of guys have talked about that and how important it is. You like that drill during camp. Can you just kind of explain what's so good about that?
Yeah, we just do different situations with it. And the ones get quite a few reps, with it, and it's playing the game is really what it is. So, but we have certain situations we work through. Yeah.
Coach Max mentioned the other day that he's still waiting for someone to step up behind McDuffie at the quarterback position. But with so many injuries, how difficult has it been to properly evaluate that position?
Well, it's been good for the young guys to get some reps in there. Watson came back, got some reps today, so getting back in the swing of things. So if he starts working in, that'll be a positive. But for the young guys, the Josephs, you know, the world there, they all get a look, you know, and so that's good work for them.
How about the career path of Mike Dana? He's going to be here at the 10 a little while. Can you just speak to that and how much improvement you expect?
Yeah, Mike Dana, number one, is a great kid, tremendous worker, doesn't say a word. He just works and plays his heart out every play. So if you want to call him a worker bee, he's a worker bee, man. He comes to work every day and busts his tail.
What adjustments, Coach, were made to maximize your time in the heat? What adjustments were made to maximize your time in the heat while minimizing any impact to the players given overall?
Yeah, so we do a lot beforehand, trying to make sure the guys are hydrated so they're not coming out. We don't have very many of the hydration issues, which is positive. Our trainers do a nice job with that. And then during practice, we water break them. So we'll go a certain number of plays, and then you'll see the people run the water in and give them a quick shot and then hop back out.
Coach, we'll also get Nico today. Just how impressive you've been year to year with his development?
Yeah, he's getting better every rep he gets. So that's a positive thing for us, yeah.
I was curious, you have a couple of members of your offensive staff, position coaches, who are going into their second year with the team. I'm just curious your opinion on their growth and just how they've done over
plus. Yeah, it's always smoother that second year once you've gone through it the first time. So they hit the ground running and are doing a nice job with it, yeah.
Andy, you talked about some of the defensive injuries that gives you a young guy. A chance to show you what they can do, but you're also trying to get ready for a season two. With all the defensive guys who are out, what point does that start to affect your preparation? I think
we're okay at this point, Adam. They'll be back. They'll be back here, and they'll have time to work. So I think we'll be fine there.
Just considering the speed that you've added, I guess just year to year, obviously you won't tell details, but how much is this game, how much is changing as far as what you guys are doing?
Yeah, not a ton changing, and we do. I mean, you know, we have speed, but you know, we're playing. We're just using our offense and going. So, not a whole lot new.
I guess Chris has to come on. What have you learned so far about Kingsley and Wanya? The more and more you see them and sorting out that position.
Yeah, I love the compete. Both of them are competing their tails off. I feel comfortable with both of them right at this point where they're at. They just got to keep working and working to get better every day, you know. So that's what they're doing. That's the mindset they're in.
Hey, Coach, you got a deep receiver room. KT goes down. How much wiggle room does he have with the depth and trying to maximize the roster?
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, you want to be there every day. And so anytime you miss, you miss, especially during install days, you know, you're missing a load there. So, he's got to take care of what he's got and get himself back out there when he can.
Can you share what you said to him? I saw you talk to him for a quick second when he went down.
Yeah. Well, at that time, I didn't know he was banged up, but I was just, you know, let's keep rolling. He had a play before that, and he went up to get it. I think that's probably where he did get hurt, but I didn't know that at the time. But just stay on top of it. Just keep squeezing.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Just keep squeezing. Andy Reid speaking to the media. A couple updates on the injury front. Tony, ankle injury. That's the official word. Nick Bolton tweaked his elbow. Got it caught in between a couple players. So who knows? It didn't sound like, you know, it's hard to judge from that. Also didn't sound like the worst case scenario either. That, you know.
I'm
guessing
panic.
He will not be practicing tomorrow, though.
I'm not going to panic about Kadarius Toney at all. He's the sixth wide receiver
correct.
On this team. But
correct.
Nick Bolton matters. Absolutely. He's an important player, so I'm just going to have to wait and see on what exactly takes place on that that injury front. Just keep squeezing. That's how I handle avocado shopping. You just, like, can't ever find the right one. Constantly looking. Mm-hmm. Do you know the proper ways? Because you don't shop very often. Do you know the proper ways to look for fruits and vegetables?
I don't squeeze avocados very often, no.
What do you do when you're like, how do you know if you're going to get a ripe cantaloupe? What do you do if you're buying some fruit, Gold? Or do you just buy it pre-cut?
I bought some pineapple the other day. The chunks were pre-cut. I was good.
Okay, you didn't buy a pineapple and then cut it.
No.
It's way cheaper, dude.
I bought the pre-cut
a quarter of the price.
The pre-cut chunks of pineapple.
It's like $6 for that. It's nuts. I'm never paying for that.
Cantaloupe and pineapple are usually my go-tos. Strawberries in the right time of the year, but yeah, cantaloupe.
Cantaloupe is a go-to?
I like cantaloupe a lot, yeah.
Bottom 20 fruit.
Pineapple is very high on the list. It's got the right mix of sweet and acidic. It's a good
pineapples
it's
are great.
It's great.
I'll knock your cantaloupe choice because it's fine.
You like the honeydew stuff, then?
No, honeydew's worse.
I agree.
Are you kidding?
Cantaloupe's way better.
This is going to go back to my fruit rankings after I trash.
Just what we need. Water. Fruit rankings. Why don't you write a song about fruits too?
Don't tempt him with a good time.
Yeah, I know that's true.
I'll do it like who didn't start fire.
I mean,
it's just my ranking of fruit.
At this point, the song can have stuff about food. We learned that yesterday.
They got them battered onion ring.
So, yeah.
If you missed that, go find it on social media. Or listen back to yesterday's show at 610sports.com. Someone says, do you salt your cantaloupe?
I do not.
We talked about this with tahine. I told you you'd been missing out because you should put tahine on certain fruit.
We did have
it. It's an excellent way to enhance your fruit. I don't salt cantaloupe. My mom used to salt apples.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It just brings out a stronger flavor of the fruit.
I haven't had an apple in a while. Granny Smith was my favorite as a kid, besides the basic Red Delicious. But the Granny Smith, man. A little acidic.
That is a garb. That's trash. That's a trash apple.
No.
It's not a Red Delicious. Don't get me wrong. That's the worst of all apples.
Yeah.
Granny Smith's good for baking. It's a good baking apple.
I like some of the fruits that have some acidic.
Let's just admit, the Pink Lady is the best apple.
Sure, it's great.
It's the best apple.
It's a good apple.
If I'm getting any apple in this world, give me that or nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is... You can tell it's a day game for us.
My goodness.
Breaking down fruit.
Mm-hmm. Is this the most derailed?
Hey, when Andy Reid says, just squeeze it, it somehow gets us to fruit and avocados.
Could have gone a different direction. Someone says
Granny Smith's number one. I think Granny Smith's very high.
Number one?
Yeah.
It's okay, trash apple was too strong. That's Red Delicious. But it is... I think it's just a better baking apple. It's too hearty for an everyday apple. It has plenty of good purposes.
Really, Granny Smith's one of
just,
the better.
You know, better and ones, someone man. Mentioned Honeycrisp, which I wouldn't sleep on that. I'm not saying that it's also a great apple. It's an expensive one, though, you know? You're paying
says,
Honeycrisp price
someone
for Pink
says,
Lady
when I
apple.
Hear Tony is hurt, I immediately start ranking fruit as well.
Tony's hurt. It's not breaking news.
Yeah. Like you said, though, Kadarius Tony, obviously, I hope he gets healthy and hope he, you know, gets right. But he's a sixth receiver, we think. So it's not the same vibe as last year when he got hurt at camp and everything like that. Nick Bolton's the one that I think everybody should be right this current second concerned about. But the elbow, could he be out for a little bit?
Away from fruit, just talking about wide receivers for a minute. If you need to just look back for a minute and realize how bad, you're going to look back 5 years from now one day and you're going to realize how bad the Chiefs wide receiver room is. Mike Florio today said there's a chance MVS doesn't make the Bills roster. MVS might get cut.
And here's the other wide receivers in that room.
Tony is the sixth wide receiver on this roster. That was number one and two going into the year last year on this team.
The Bills have Curtis Samuel. That was their big acquisition. They moved on from Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. So you're saying that there's a chance he does not beat out. So he's obviously not being out Curtis Samuel, but Curtis Samuel, Keon Coleman.
Who's the kid from Boise State?
Khalil Shakir.
That's Khalil. I knew you'd know that. I just remember he played at Boise State.
In fairness, he was there his final year when I was even there covering him. I don't even know who the other receivers are there. Do you after that?
Mm-mm. They've completely revamped their room. Looks a lot different than it did the year before. So, no, I don't.
And they bring in some other veteran.
Mac Hollins, the wide receiver who played for the Falcons last year.
Chase Claypool's
and Chase Claypool.
The other one.
That's who he's going to lose out to. He's not even going to make the roster. He was the Chiefs' number. They were talking about him like he was either the number one or number two wide receiver going into the year last year. And Kadarius Toney was certainly the other guy. So those were their top two receivers going into the year. Neither is even guaranteed to make a roster this year because you were an 80 at the end, and that's a fair thing. If you're already on the cusp of maybe making the roster, missing time does not help you get there.
Right.
Now, look, this could just protect him. You had to ever go on the injured reserve or whatever list. Well, then you sneak a guy in.
Usually it works itself out.
Figure out that problem later.
It does usually work itself out. Injuries or something, you're right. I mean, a lot of times as we get towards the end of camp, they find a way to keep an extra guy because of an injury or something.
Yeah. Last year's wide receiver crew was a Red Delicious.
Okay.
This year's a much... higher quality.
Is that how
apple.
You're bringing it back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I'm going to bring it back. Mm-hmm. Someone's like, you guys have a 2-hour show and now you're comparing apples? Come on.
They said, Attaway. Is Attaway?
Hey, you're going to listen to the Royals coming up here in a
little bit? Someone said they're learning a lot. That's what we try to do. We try to also educate, you know, the best we can. Someone says, not they're only red, green, and yellow apples.
Oh, no. No, there's just a plethora, a variety, a whole world opened up to you. And you know that there's a quality difference between apples.
Just like wide receivers, you know?
Just like wide receivers. Tomorrow we'll have our wide receivers as comps. Apples.
Wide receiver comps. Yes, we're going to get it real quick. Anybody want to, Ivy, you want to sponsor the segment tomorrow? If it's a grocery chain, if there's a, you know, a company that wants to sponsor it, we'll see. Where do we put Rashee Rice? What kind of apple is he?
I mean, he's very good at it.
You know?
Well, variety. Well, good variety.
Some would say he was a bad apple this offseason. I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on. You asked me something while we were listening to Andy Reid. And once again, Kingsley Suamataia got the first reps at left tackle. But they still work in Wanye Morris a little. Yeah. And so at this point, is there enough of a difference between the two where you're like, man, this guy has to start over the other?
I want Kingsley to start, because I want the long-term solution, and I feel like if Wanye was going to... This goes back to the point I'd made earlier in the show, which is if they had wanted Wanye to have it from the beginning, they wouldn't have immediately brought in competition and immediately made him on the same footing. That is heavily favoring it towards Kingsley. I know Andy there said, I'm fine with either. I'm comfortable with anybody. Good. Because if an injury happens, you might have to see the other guy behind there. But at this point, I want it to be Kingsley's job. He was the higher draft pick. I think they thought higher of him right away. He's been given more opportunity immediately. He just seems like he's already at the level of Wanye with better chance for growth. And I know it's only a year difference and a round difference. I'm not saying it's significant, but at this point, I just want Kingsley to win the job.
No, I mean, that is...
I'm more comfortable with Kingsley.
To me, that's almost the only answer right now for what you were saying, that the ceiling is just higher on Kingsley. Like, I think we saw in the four games, Wanye Morris, if he has to start, you'll be okay. Right? Like, there'll be some moments where it's an issue, but he's not awful or anything like that. You're fine. Kingsley, we don't know really yet, but also you said it. The ceiling is so much higher. You spend high draft capital. There's a potential one day, not his rookie season, but one day he could be maybe a top 10 tackle.
Exactly.
I don't think Wanye Morris can ever be that. And that's why I always side with the guy that has more upside.
It's like, if Andy's saying he's comfortable with either, I think he's just trying to keep it an open competition, if that makes sense. You know? Like, that's all. He's just trying to not make one guy feel like he's already lost a job. And one guy shouldn't have already won the job. Kingsley's never started in this league. Wanye started four games at least. Yeah. Get them both in. Honestly, if you want to make your decision firm, for each of the two preseason games, let one, you know, that are going to matter, the third preseason game. Although, in fairness, offensive line usually plays a lot more in a game anyway.
You just have numbers. There's only, you have to play some of them.
Yeah. Put them both in with the ones. Give them both a rep with Mahomes.
That could happen.
And Pacheco, and then really make your decision. But if you're asking me right now who I'm more comfortable with, Kingsley. And that's just because I haven't seen Wanye fail, because he didn't fail in the four games. But I watched him struggle, and he had a chance to be, like, Donovan Smith was a perfectly fine left tackle. But let's not pretend like he had a Hall of Famer in front of him to beat out last year. If Wanye Morris had stepped in and done what Trey Smith did, if Wanye Morris just stepped into camp last year and looked the part, they would have just as easily or happily put him in that role as Donovan Smith. Well, they weren't just over the moon with the guy.
We've said it multiple times, but I think it was telling, once again, pre-draft, the comments from Veach and from Andy Reid about how they viewed and had already acknowledged to Wanye they were going to bring in competition. That's pretty telling when they're telling you already they're going to draft over you, essentially. That's what they did. They drafted over Wanye. He's going to have an opportunity to be with this team for a while as a, you know, maybe a, if he loses the job, a spot starter at left tackle, a swing tackle, could fill in at guard if needed. Remember, he's gotten some reps at right guard.
Yeah.
So all that's good. He's an important piece of the team because, you know, usually you have offensive lineman
pick.
go down for a game or two. That definitely is something that could come into play.
Sorry, I started laughing because somebody called Tony a crab apple.
I know.
I shouldn't have read that text because it made me laugh.
That's why I was smiling at one point when you were starting. You were talking about Kingsley, and if you notice, I started
smiling.
You're
like, why is Alex smiling? That's what you get if you watch the video stream, by the way, is Alex and I not being able to hold it together for a little bit.
Crab apple.
It's going to be like that, you know? They need to deserve that today. There used to be a bunch of those over by like an old football field used to play backyard football with. So we just like...
My parents, one of the trees in their yard, those things are annoying. They have, one of them is a crabapple.
Oh, really? God, it just like, to have that in your
yard. The birds, that attracts the hell out of birds too.
Does it?
Because the birds will eat all those. You know, the birds will, squirrels, birds will all...
The hell do they do with them? Just throw them in the garbage can?
They go eat them. No, I mean,
what do your parents do?
They're not all over the yard because they eat them. Like these, you know, animals or birds come and eat them.
Oh, they take them all the time, huh?
But my parents hate the tree. Like, they were like, this is the worst thing ever. But
take it down. How big is it? A crab apple tree.
It's a good size.
Pretty good size?
It's a good size.
Damn. It's like, let's just get rid of this damn thing.
Yeah, they've had a crabapple tree for since they bought the
so
house.
So you're familiar with
it. I'm familiar.
Super familiar.
With the crabapples.
With the type. Okay. Oh, man.
Golden, no, golden delicious. Just keep talking about apples, you know?
No, they're not good apple. It's not delicious. If they put delicious in, they're fooling you. The second
you
that
don't
they
like tart,
say,
it's a little tart.
The say it's not a it's, again, not the worst apple. We've decided that's red delicious. You know, we've determined. Like mm-hmm. you said, tomorrow we'll have our fruit is I don't think we're
wide receivers.
Gonna do
that. Yeah.
Fruit mm-hmm. is wide receivers.
Very important stuff.
Because if we did all fruit, it's all fruit that's too much. Shouldn't we just do it based on apples? Do you think somebody's put out a definitive apple ranking?
Of course. Yes. I'll let you look at that after the show, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was a comedian who did it once, according to AppleRankings.com.
Hold on. There's a site called AppleRankings.com. Mm-hmm.
He claims Honeycrisp is number two all time.
Thanks.
A Pink Lady, he only has day. He has an excellent apple, but only number six. Mm-hmm. We disagree on the Pink Lady. Do you want to know what the worst apple is?
Sure. I guess.
Newton Pippin apples.
I don't know what that is.
Dude, I don't know if I can... It's a comedian. Do you want to know what he calls it?
Pippin?
Yeah. So Newtown
like
Pippin.
Scotty Pippin.
His description of it is Long Island's sand-filled condom. That's how he describes the apple. Arkansas Black Apple, he has described as a teeth-shattering oddity. So Red Delicious were fourth worst on this person's list.
Okay.
Just so you know. He, right. Dude, he ranked like 50 apples. So, I mean, you kind of.
You all right over there?
You know.
Q is just shaking his head at us.
This is just
he called Pink Ladies a fiery troublemaker.
The apple's a troublemaker?
Yeah, you know. He called Cosmic Crisp the most overhyped apple of all time.
Hmm.
He's the Derek Jeter of apples, is essentially what he's saying.
Okay. I'm sure Vern really appreciates this lead-in to his on-deck show. I'm sure he does. Vern's going to take it from here. If you missed our conversation with JJ Piccolo, it's obviously up on the Odyssey app, 610sports.com. Royals going for a sweep of the White Sox today. Series finale against Chicago. It'll be Brady Singer on the bump. He's going to get a no-hitter today, too, by the way. Did I tell you that?
Oh, Brady you think Singer, he's getting a no-hitter?
Yeah, he's going to get a no-hitter today.
Say that now. That way you can play it tomorrow.
Six-plus strikeouts and a no-hitter from Brady Singer. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow from Chiefs training camp.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.